Begin this sermon series not with the revised or not with the standard lectionary, but rather with a brief passage from the Gospel of John, John chapter 8, verse 12. Listen for the word of the Lord. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The German poet, novelist, playwright, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe, is widely accepted as being a key figure in Western culture. His masterwork, Faust, is something, if you've ever seen it, it emblazons itself on your consciousness, and it's hard to ever forget. Goethe, at the end of his life, literally on his deathbed, was known to have said in his last words just two words: "More light." Now, some people want to argue that the room was dark and he wanted the shades drawn. Doesn't it seem like someone of that depth was saying something so much more? Doesn't it resonate within you, that experience of desiring in our lives and in our world more light? Go back to the Bible. In the Bible, take a survey sometime of the different places and times when light is key. The very beginning of the Bible, the first words in the book of Genesis, when God speaks and says, "Let there be light." The next book of the Bible, when Moses was in exile, he was hiding, a runaway, hiding out in the wilderness. And God wanted to attract Moses' attention. God appears as a fire in a burning bush, a bush that burns but is not consumed. In other words, God appears to Moses in the very first time as light. When the Hebrew slaves have escaped from Pharaoh, they wander in the wilderness. They're prone to fear and grumbling. And what does God give them as a symbol to help remember that God's presence is near? It gives them two pots of fire. They burn smoke during the day. At night, they're light. Why do we have the two lights here in the sanctuary every Sunday? We're Moses' people. We're people that come out of that tradition, remembering that the light of God goes before us. When they were experiencing times of trouble, the people of Israel sang songs. We have their songs in the Psalms. Psalm 27 says so poignantly, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." More light, the Bible seems to be saying time and time again. The prophet Micah in chapter 7 says so beautifully, "Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is my light." In the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling." In Hebrews chapter 6, "For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift," more light, the Bible seems to say again and again. And finally, at the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, at the very end of the book, in the heavenly kingdom, in the new heaven and the new earth, what does it say? "But in this new heaven and new earth, there will be no longer any night. They will have no need of light, of a lamp, or the light of the sun, because God will illumine them. The Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Light, more light. That image of God bringing light to us. The Gospel of John continues along that line. The Gospel of John was the last of the Gospels written at a time when the church had become stuck. The culture around had commandeered the religions of the day. And now the old ways of talking about Jesus as rock, as salvation, as cornerstone, the Son of David, Son of Man, Kingdom of God, well, they weren't working the same way that they used to. And John is forced by circumstances to use poetry in order to tell the truth and to describe where God was. He lifts up these words and images of Jesus to show that the world is not what you should be gaining your light from, but rather these images of Jesus show what we are and what we are meant to see. We are witnesses to the light, and we are children of the light. The Gospel of John is dynamic. It has a series of questions. Questions that make you wonder and look and think anew. It begins with the very first question as Jesus encounters his disciples and says, "What are you looking for?" That's one of those light-bringing questions. What are you looking for in your life? What are you looking for? Is it the right thing? Do you know how to look? Do you know what it is to discover something unexpected? To discover something new? Do you know what it is to be given the light of God and see in ways that you have never seen before? In order to open up the world to the possibility of seeing differently, the Gospel of John gives us these dynamic images of Jesus as the light of the world. John's images of Jesus, I think, many times are misunderstood because John meant them to be dynamic, but he shows how easy it is to collapse them into be something that's static, that just sits there. You see it when he talks about being born again. The man that he's talking to says, "What, I'm supposed to crawl back into my mother's womb?" That doesn't make any sense. You see how he collapsed the meaning. But still today, don't we have plenty of people around us who want to take that meaning about being born again and they want to collapse it into saying a formula, a narrow understanding of what Jesus is about? When Jesus is about the light of the world, it's a new way of seeing everything, and it helps us to understand ourselves anew. The person who hears, deeply hears what Jesus is saying, discovers the meaning behind the words, "Jesus is the light of the world." He's trying to open us up, give us access to God in ways that we hadn't experienced it before. A full, fresh access to God in his words and deeds. I'm fascinated by this passage today in its context. I want to share two pieces of context with you. One is when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," this is happening during the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, that's when they were remembering that they were in the wilderness, those tenting people, and they remembered those lights that guided them through the wilderness in the darkness. And so to symbolize that, they had these huge vats of oil that were up on pillars. The pillars, you had to climb up a ladder to get to the pillars. They had to keep on pouring oil as these burned all night long. The old garments of the priest were used as the wicks. They were such large gatherings or pots of oil. And all night long, the whole city of Jerusalem was illuminated by these lights. They were the light of the city, and the people of the city were to take candles and torches and dance for joy because God was the one that was leading them. So it was this festival of lights. And Jesus comes along and says, "I am the light of the world. You've seen the light of the city. What would it be to see the light of the world and all the world dancing for joy?" What an image. I think that's what Jesus is getting at, in part, when he says, "I am the light of the world." If we're going to be talking about Jesus being the light of the world, it might be good for us to just spend a moment hearing about the different meanings of light. I simply went to the dictionary. I thought it was a dictionary. What I found out was that there was a whole lot of theology in these dictionaries that I was looking at as they described light. Listen for the theology in these. Light, by definition. One, light is an agent that stimulates sight. That's theology, right? Number two, light, something that makes vision possible. We're in the good stuff. Definition number three, understanding of a problem or mystery. Definition number four, light is dawn, a new day. Number five, spiritual illumination, enlightenment. Definition number six, a beacon that gives guidance. Definition number seven, a point of view. Definition number eight, a flame that sets something on fire, whether burning or transforming. And definition of light number nine, electromagnetic radiation that travels at 186,281 miles per second. I'm going to get to the theology of that in a minute, okay? But before I do that, I want to talk just briefly about the context of this passage. Because it's always important when you read a passage in the Bible, when you hear any sort of quote out of the Bible, to ask the question, what was the context of that? Where did it fit? Here's the broader passage, out of that passage where Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Here's what comes just before. Early in the morning, Jesus came to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down, and he began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, making her stand before all of them. They said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say? They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground, and when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, Let anyone who is among you who is without sin cast the first stone. At once he bent down and wrote on the ground again. When they heard him say this, they went away, starting with the eldest first. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. He straightened up and said to her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, sir. And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on do not sin again. So I ask you the question, doesn't this give context to something that helps us to understand the beginning of what it means to say Jesus is the light of the world? Because you think about how much light Jesus brought to this woman. He was the agent that stimulates sight, and all of a sudden, these tricksters saw themselves for who they are. Jesus is the one who makes vision possible. That's our second definition of light. He makes it possible to see that this is not someone that you can just judge and cast away, that this was a woman, a human being. And Jesus makes it possible in the light of his love to see who she was. Number three, light is understanding of a problem or a mystery. And surely there's a mystery of forgiveness that is revealed here. Plato has a marvelous quote. Plato says, We can readily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark, but the real tragedy is when an adult is afraid of the light. I think there were some people, when it came to this woman, who were afraid of the light, and all of a sudden Jesus helps them to see. Number four, the definition light is a dawn, a new day. And you ask, when does the new day begin? When does the stone throwing stop? When does the judging, the blaming, the scapegoating, the anger? And Jesus gives the answer, today. Today's the day when the anger, the judging, the blaming, the scapegoating, it all stops. It's a new day. Definition number five, spiritual illumination. God is about not judging, but about bringing people back to life and health and hope. In this passage, Jesus truly helps this woman to come back into the community and actually helps them to come to themselves. Definition number eight, a beacon. Light is a beacon, and surely Jesus is a beacon of safety here. Definition number eight, a point of view. The point of view that Jesus brings is love, that we can see the world anew through love. Definition number eight, a flame that sets something on fire. It burns off the old, and it burned off here, the old way of seeing, and it opens up a new way of seeing here. And finally, that last definition, an electromagnetic radiation that travels at 281 miles per second. Light is moving. And how many times do we end up with an understanding of Jesus that truly is static, that's stuck, that's going nowhere? Jesus is the light of the world. He sets us free to move, to live, to enter into the light, to enter into the liveliness, to enter into the fullness of existence that God has set out before us. And how will we get there? Well, we pay attention to the light. We open ourselves to the light. We let that light flood us with an enlightenment that helps us to see ourselves anew, to see one another anew, that sets us free to live. Jesus is the light of the world. May we live in his light. May we grow in an understanding of where he is taking us. Amen.